Gracious and loving Father, we are so thankful we can assemble again today, that you have blessed us with all blessings that we need here on this earth and above what we need of church family or other family here on this earth and friends, loved ones. We thank you for each and everything that you do for us and for the great blessing of your salvation extended to all mankind through your Son, Jesus Christ, for all who will obey you. Father, we ask you to be with us as we open your word this morning. Be with Brother Ed as he leads us in the study. Help us to be edified and give them healing and comfort and strength and whatever their needs are. And there are many in the brotherhood and our friends and family in need of our prayers. So we lift it leads to you, leads to heaven. Be guided by your word and be willing to study and obey. Forgive us when we do things that are not pleasing to you and not according to you.
We are in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And we're going to spend this session and the other next section. Normally we have a speaker, but that was Brother Kevin, and he's disabled. So we're going to continue our study in that session as well. And we had talked through verse 4. Last session, which seems so long ago, I think it's been about 3 weeks, but these are really short studies. You could take every one of these folks and study them and come up with a good lesson in and of itself. And so there was some things that Paul began to state, that faith, what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. We, like Jesus said, whoever believes in me has eternal life. Well, we have that. It's ours. But we still hope for when it's realized. We have the promise. We have the guarantee by the Holy Spirit that dwells within us and by the blood of Jesus, the word of Jesus. So we have it. It's ours. and it's desirable. And we can expect it. That's confidence. Confidence for the things that we hope for. And it's the evidence of things not seen. And we have all the proof that we need. I don't care what they dig up or what they find or theorize. I have all the evidence I need in God's word. And then this creation. I have, I've said this before, but I kind of was agnostic a little bit. I just couldn't see how it could all be possible that there could be such a being. But as I grew and matured, I feel now that there is no other answer for our existence than the existence of a divine eternal being that had no beginning, had no end, was just all powerful, all knowing, and ever present. There can be no other way. And so anyway, that's what faith is. It's the substance of the confidence we have in the things we hope for and the evidence of things we can't even see. You know, I've heard a lot of people, well, show me your God. Well, I can show you the mountains and the seas and the stars in the sky, and they are not God, but they are his handiwork. So, and then we started talking a little bit about Abel, and that faith is not only believing in God, but also doing what God asks us to do. So it's not just believing, and it's not just doing good things. It's believing that there is a God, and that we should obey Him, and that we can expect a reward if we do. And on the other hand, we can expect punishment for our disobedience. And that's kind of where we left off. Any comments before we begin with verse 5?
Bit of a comment on what you said about someone who asked you who asked for proof of God. Yeah. Have you ever looked at someone and said, "What do you see in the mirror every day?" Our life alone is proof that God is here and He loves us. If He didn't, that person wouldn't be able to see themselves in the mirror. They wouldn't be there.
We're so wonderfully and magnificently made. It couldn't be an accident.
No.
You know? Yes, Nina.
I love what you said about we are saved. The salvation is
there.
We have to plug into that, though. We have the right to have electricity, but we have to plug into that before we can get it.
Yeah.
That's one of the things of faith and obedience then, too.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, John tells us in John, he says, we have the right to become children of God.
Mm-hmm. He gave us the power to become sons of God. To those who believe.
It's kind of a comeback, but the person that says, show me your God, you know, Jesus usually answered a question with a question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a mind?
Yeah.
Show me your mind.
Yeah. I've heard Rick say that. Yeah. Yep, quite right. Anything else? Okay, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found. In other words, he was translated. There was no body. There was no... he just was gone. He was nowhere to be found. Because God had translated him. And that means that... one minute he's in human form and he's on the earth doing his business, and the next he is in heaven in a new spiritual body.
I'm in the New King James Version. Mine says, because God had taken him, which again evokes even more stronger. It's like he just reached down and just plucked him up.
Right. Another person in that same situation was Elijah, the prophet, in the book of Kings. Okay. But before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Genesis 5:21, when Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. The Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew text, Old Scriptures, translated in place of walked with God, Enoch pleased God. And it's Paul who gives us that translation rather than walk with God is pleased with God. They are equal terms. And so... it's kind of interesting that when we walk, that's an action, right? That's doing. When we walk with God, God is pleased with us. And it's those who please God whom God draws to himself. and will receive into heaven one day. We don't know very much about any other than he was a prophet as well. The book of Jude, Brother Paul, the book of Jude refers to him as being a prophet.
I have often wondered in Enoch's day and time, how did he live? What did he do that would please God so much that God would, he wouldn't die. He would go right straight to heaven. And in those days, we know God could deal directly with people. But it's not that way today.
Yeah.
You want to deal with God, you have to do it through his son, Jesus the Christ.
And that pleases God. And those are the people whom God will take up to heaven and receive into his heavenly kingdom. So that is, we can do the very same thing today. We walk with God when we believe his word, obey his word, and continue steadfastly in his word. All those things that we read about in these chapters throughout the New Testament tell us what pleases God. And we can be that same person, yes.
Yeah, Paul admonishes in Ephesians, I think, beseech you that you walk worthy of your calling. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah. And Enoch was no different than a faithful person today. He was a man. And has there ever been a man that was without sin, save Jesus?
No.
No, not according to God's word. But there's always been a plan to redeem ourselves from sin. And Enoch was the one who walked in that way. And we can be people that walk just as faithfully in the way today. Just as Elijah walked faithfully according to the law of Moses. Was Elijah without sin? No man was save Jesus, but Elijah walked in the way where his sins could be remitted. And that pleases God. And all these folks were folks like you and I. They were not super people. They were people living in conditions. Nothing really changes under the sun, right? We all have to work hard. We all have to put up with a lot of different things, but you know, we all have to obey God, and in every dispensation, men have had to obey God, and that's the case state we found ourselves in today. So Paul goes right in after Enoch had the testimony that he pleased God by walking with God. He says this in verse 6. But without faith, so Enoch had to have faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. But yet Enoch did. So Enoch lived by faith as he was walking with God. And it caused that God was pleased with him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. First of all, that's our first thing we need to conquer, is that there is a God. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So, the reward that Enoch got was being translated into heaven. The reward that all of God's people that lived by faith, trusted in him, obeyed him, and followed his plan of redemption, whatever it was, in the current dispensation they were living, pleased God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. He is, and he is approachable. Even though his presence sometimes is fearsome, like on the mountain in Sinai when the giving of the law, and smoke and fire and the mountain quaked, and thunders and lightnings. It was so awesome and fearful an experience that all the people had wanted no part of it. Moses, you go and approach God. But he is approachable. It says, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. We can come to God. He is approachable. And he rewards faith. That's the thing here. God rewards faith. He is responsive to faithfulness in his people and people. If you have a comment at any time, just raise your hand. Going on to verse 7.
Ed, Brother Bill.
Okay.
For those that diligently seek him kind of puts to rest those folks that just kind of wait around, waiting for a God to strike them or give them some kind of direct revelation, you know, just waiting on God. You can't do that. You got to diligently, with some zeal, seek him to find him.
Yeah, I think my path was, first of all, I realized there had to be a supreme being, that this, it's ridiculous to believe that this was an accident. And it was also then that I said, well, who is he? And how can I learn of him? And then I became convinced of the Bible, because it's self-evident that this is comes from a divine source. The rest is history. I mean, you either accept it or reject it.
I was just going to kind of harken back just a little bit to Elijah. Hmm. And he did fail in his faith.
Yes.
And so that's, but he was still precious to God. But when Jezebel was going to kill him, he ran and hid. So, but he still did what God asked him to do.
Yeah. And again, we can't stress it. I can't stress enough that these folks were just folks like you and I. And they faced tremendous things, and sometimes they failed. Sometimes they became depressed. Sometimes they became angry. And sometimes when tempted, they succumbed to temptation. But their faith conquered all because they repented and become better folks and stronger folks and more obedient folks and more trusting folks. And, you know, as we go through there, these guys, men and women, they just stood in their circumstances, whatever they were, in faithfulness, in obedience. They learned to overcome depression and fear and lack of confidence and how to overcome temptation and to be better, stronger, faithful people. Just like you and I have to do. They experienced nothing less nor nothing more than most of us do on a day-to-day basis. Okay, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Can you imagine Noah being told that I'm going to send a flood of waters upon the earth. And there's never been a flood of waters. Just like people say today. You know, in Peter's day, where is a sign of his coming? I never heard of such a thing. So Noah. That was his message while building the ark, was God is going to pass judgment on this generation, and he's going to cause a flood of waters, and I'm building this big boat to save whosoever will. You know, the boat was not limited to just Noah and his family. It was open to all. And yet, I can just imagine the ridicule that he faced. Remember this guy up the street that built a concrete boat in his backyard? Every time you went by, you could see it. It was almost as big as his house. I guess he got it to float. But I know he faced a lot of ridicule. And he didn't even have the message of judgment with him to go along with that.
One of the things in the days prior to Noah was that he was ridiculed and made fun of it because they did not retain the knowledge of God. And if they had retained the knowledge of God, they would have believed what Noah said.
Yeah. They willfully disobeyed and acted negatively towards God's will. Yeah. Did you have something, Bill? Okay. Noah moved with fear. This was Noah's reaction to God's word of judgment, of the coming judgment. He moved with a sense of dread of what was coming. And that's exactly how we should feel when we hear the gospel. The gospel is not just about receiving a reward. It's about escaping judgment, escaping the wrath of God, which is to come against all unbelievers. So he moved with a sense of fear, knowing that if he did what God asked him to do and prepared an ark, it would be to the saving of his house, his family. That's a great motivation. Fear of judgment and hope for reward. That's what should move us. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. And it's not just ourselves that we live for, right? Don't we live for the salvation of our spouse and our children and our loved one and our neighbors and whosoever we meet? I'm so glad I met Sam on that one day so long ago. You know, I wasn't only working for my reward, treasures, working for the kingdom of heaven. I was interested in Sam receiving his word and escaping judgment, as we all have escaped judgment. By which he condemned the world. How did that happen? Well, it showed the wisdom of Noah in obeying God and the folly of the rest of that whole generation for ignoring the word of God. Wisdom overcomes folly. And it showed that Noah had a healthy respect for the word of God, and the rest of that generation had a total disregard for the word of God. You know, and that's how we could divide up the world today. That's how God divided all generations of men since the beginning. You know, and Paul had a great, you know, we preach the foolishness of the cross. And to the Greeks, it's nonsense. And I forgot now exactly what that meant. But the wisdom of God is the foolishness of men. Mm. So, Paul said this, Romans chapter 1, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Do you think Noah was ashamed of the work he put into the ark?
No.
Do you think he was ashamed to preach the word of judgment to come that God gave Noah? No. So he was not ashamed. Paul also was not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Everything that Noah did in building the ark and preaching for 120 years led to the salvation of him and his family. To everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, God has always had a plan for everyone at any time to be saved. You know, the Gentiles had their system that was done away with at the cross. The Jews had their system. They had some things in that were common, some elements that were common to both, but they had particular ways that led to salvation. All those ways were done away with, and all Gentiles and all Jews were brought into the gospel dispensation, which leads to the forgiveness of the sin. So, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed. That's what every person should be concerned with. What do I have to do to be declared righteous? Another word for that is to be justified before God today. Well, you must believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God. You must be not only sorry for your sins, but make a decision to turn away from those sins and walk in a new way. To confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, to be immersed in water for the remission of sin, and to walk faithfully according to the Scriptures till the end. That's what everyone had to do. They had to hear the Word of God and walk faithfully and obediently in it till the end. They had no less or no more to do than we do today. Noah believed God. That's faith. And he moved by faith to build the ark. He obeyed. He took action according to what God said. And he received the benefit of faith, which is the reward of salvation of himself and of his family. So there is a equation to follow. We must believe, we must obey, and we must endure, and then we receive the reward of our faith. The flood was something very far off in terms of passing time. You know, 120 years. What would you do if someone said in 60, 70 years your house is going to burn down? Would you be moved with fear to act against that? Well, you know, that's the way a lot of people think. Well, I'll deal with that down the road, some more convenient time. Or I'm almost ready to take action, but not just yet. You know, but with us, we never know when lightning's going to strike and hit that old house. But, you know, we never know when judgment is imminent. And sometimes we get the feeling that, well, I'll do it later. Later, I will repent and make myself right with God. Later, I will do the things that God says will end in a reward. But not now. I got time. For 120 years, Noah labored and prepared daily for that day. And that's kind of what we need to do. Day by day, study here, learn this, learn that. Do this good thing, mature, be mindful of others, care for the household of faith, and on and on and on. We can't all do it at once. We don't learn about doing it all at once. We don't have the right mindset all at once. But day by day, a little here, a little there, build upon this, build upon that. And pretty soon, we have an ark. That's how Noah did it. And he didn't preach to everybody all the time, but when he could, he preached as he was building the ark. We can reach out once in a while as we go through life. There are opportunities that lead to their salvation. It's a wonderful thing. Okay.
I was just going to say, God probably foreknew that Noah would follow his commands, but Noah didn't know that.
right.
But he received a direct revelation from God. Now, we don't receive direct revelations from God, but Noah did. But you know, he could have refused it, but he didn't. And it was 120 years. He could have got tired. He could have, you know, people saying, well, let's go see this foolish thing he's doing. I mean, he could have gave up, but I think that's a lesson for us, you know.
Yeah.
Well, 120 years is, may not have been very long to them, but it's a really long time for us. So
yeah.
He could have got discouraged and everything else, but in the beginning, God chose him because he walked uprightly before him.
Yeah, and I'm going to spend just a little time on that. As Noah looked out on his generation and contemplated things, there was no outward evidence for a flood or even rain. Never happened before. Only the Word of God. He only had the testimony and of the Word of God. And however we receive that, I mean, part of my experience was I had to diligently prove that this came from it. Could just like I look at creation and say it couldn't have just happened. I look at this word and I say man could not have put it together. That things were said that come to pass centuries later, just according to what was said. Jesus himself has over 300 prophecies about his gospel and his mission and his life and his death and on and on, resurrection. And you know, some of those things have never happened before. No one has ever died and rose again to never die again. No one in the history of mankind, but Jesus did. And he said, you believe me, you believe in me, and obey my word, you shall have the same experience someday. So all we have really is the testimony of God. And that was enough for Noah. That was proof enough. Ridicule from philosophers, from the scientists of the day, from the wise men of the day, probably plagued Noah almost unceasingly for 120 years. He was laughed at as a dreamer, a wacko.
Probably even called an outright liar.
Could have been. Much as Jesus, the mocking Noah received was probably as much as Jesus received when he said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will build it again. But 120 years of patience, working, unwavering belief that the unheard of event would happen led to Noah building that ark, and it led to his salvation and the salvation of his family. Ezekiel said this, talking about Noah. Ezekiel 14, verse 13. Son of man, when a land sins against me by acting faithlessly, and I stretch out my hand against it and break its supply of bread and send famine upon it and cut off from it man and beast, even if these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they would deliver but their own lives by their righteousness, declares the Lord of God. So that's pretty elite company that Noah finds himself in. He was upright in all his generation. And I want to read just this about the first one, Genesis 6, verses 8 and 9. But Noah, God looked out and the conduct on the earth was disgraceful, horrible, depraved, and evil. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And these are the generations of Noah. And that kind of means his conduct during his life. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. And you know, if we walk with God and faithfully follow his will, his way, we're going to be declared just. That means righteous. Righteous is what the result is, just and justification is being legally declared that you are righteous. How did he get that way? Well, chapter 6, verse 22. Thus did Noah. According to all that God commanded him, so did he. You want to be declared just and upright and perfect in your generation? Do all that God commands you. 7, verse 5. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord had commanded him. Chapter 7, verse 16. And they that went in male and female in all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. And you know, somebody mentioned this aspect of it. We have to receive it. And we have to enter in. And we have to take possession of it. Noah could have done all that work and then went to a mountaintop and said, look what I have done. But the Lord said, it's time for you to enter in. And he entered in. And I think that's so important. You know, you have to do things. Going in is an action that is motivated by faith, and we go into the church of the living God, the church of Jesus Christ. We have to go in, and we have to stay in till it's over, till the battle is won. Comments before we close? All right. Thank you.